Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray. And folks, we are broadcasting as usual from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful yet rainy Alpharetta. And folks, if you are tired of the mega bank experience, if you're at one of those banks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're at Renaissance Bank, you don't know what I'm talking about. And here's what happens if you're a client at Renaissance. And this is what I just hear from people that I refer to Renaissance. They're big enough to handle pretty much any need that you can throw at them as a small business, but they're small enough to deliver their services in a personal way. That's a magic combination that it might be worth exploring for your business. Go to renaissancebank.com, find one of their local offices, and give them a call. And I think you'll be glad you did. Live people answer the phone, by the way. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Craig Sikowski and Ralph Pascarello. Craig and Ralph are with the Tech Collective. Craig, Ralph, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. Let's talk about the Tech Collective. How are you serving folks out there?
I appreciate that. So the Tech Collective, we are an IT consultant group and also double as an IT technology broker. We are a group of senior executives who partner with clients to provide innovative technology based high value solutions to solve business problems. We have over 85 years of experience, combined experience. We work in IT, security, cyber insurance, breach coaching, cyber training, networking. We start with the infrastructure We can branch off. So if you look at us as being the Swiss Army knife, as you peel that away, we offer different services such as cyber insurance assessments, technology assessments. We try to focus on helping people with the security measures as well.
I'm curious about this. I would normally ask this question later, but what size companies do you work with? Because I would think at a certain size, people have this ability internally to do what you're doing. But you'd
be surprised. Many companies.
That's where I'm going. They're underserved. Yeah,
and that's where we really help. And
right,
we're the perfect partner to fill that gap. And we offer fractional, what we call microservices, to those groups to make sure that they're expanding in the right way and they're optimizing the solutions that they need. The one area that I think that is really underutilized is the cybersecurity and cyber insurance assessment side. Mm. And we're growing in that area. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But that is a growth market that people just did not realize they had a need. They're underinsured and the risk is huge. So yeah, we found that gap and we wanted to work. But the size of the companies, we work with small, medium, and large.
Okay.
But primarily the size of companies we find most valuable are 50 million and above.
I guess where I was going with that was that the technology is moving so rapidly and is getting more so complex that even major companies have an issue when it comes to keeping up, right? At least that's what I hear.
They really do. They always like the outside person coming in.
Yeah.
It's the trees to the forest type of a scenario. They can't see what they don't know.
Right.
And they bring in people like our group, the Tech Collective, to look at the gaps that they might have. And we help them fill those and offering the right services. We don't offer just off-the-shelf solutions. We customize our solutions to make sure that they're the right fit.
So you saw an opportunity in under coverage and lack of, I guess, the coverage of the size of the problem, let's put it like that, for cybersecurity, and you've come up with a solution for that.
We did. Ralph's going to be talking here in a second, but I met Ralph a few years ago. We were talking about the industry, the needs, and then we were looking upstream saying, well, how do people afford the insurance? Do they have enough insurance? And he said, well, that's an interesting question. What do they do about the technology and what's the risk? So we came together, collaborated, glad to have Ralph with the Tech Collective. It adds a different view with the insurance side.
Right.
And it really helps right size and reduce the risks.
Terrific. Before we get too far away from Tech Collective, just give folks a little idea of your background and your before starting Tech Collective, and what led you to start the company?
My partner, who's Jim Watts, and I, we both have worked together in different industries. We both sat in leadership roles, both from a technology enterprise side. We have been through the running business units all the way to seeing the foresight of consulting. And we sat in that leadership role. So we know the problems, and we wanted to solve that and do it on our own. So we're trying to serve on a different perspective. So rather than outside looking or inside looking out, we're now outside looking back in.
Got it. And have added this capability on the cyber security side with Ralph Pasquarello. Ralph, for those that don't know you, for the three people that don't know you, explain your background and what you bring to the table here.
For this conversation, John, we're going to talk about insurance, which I've been doing for the last 14 years. Mm-hmm. And when I jumped into insurance after a global position with a German company some time ago, I went strictly I dove into the cyber realm, the cyber industry, cyber part of the insurance. So when people say, yeah, you're in cyber, I'm said, no, I'm not in cybersecurity. I've never been in cybersecurity, but I'm in cyber liability.
Right.
And there's a huge difference. When you go to cybersecurity, there's thousands of different venues that do that. Cyber insurance was one. Mm-hmm. So I've done that for many years, and that leads us to today. So I left the insurance industry about 6-7 months ago. I don't write insurance anymore, but what prodded me to do this was that I had seen something missing in the industry. When I go in and insure companies, it's sad. My job as an industry, as an insurance guy, was to keep you in business, right? That's my mission, to keep you in business. So when you get breached or when your building burns down or whatever that casualty is, you have enough insurance to stay alive and keep your business in business. And that just doesn't happen when it comes to cyber. It's been my experience over the years that 75-80% of people like go in, and maybe like even 100%, John, we talked about before, don't buy enough insurance when mm-hmm. it comes to cyber, because they just don't know what they need. And I'll give an example. When you insure your company for property, business, personal property, or your building, whatever that is, you have a statement of values that is provided by maybe the mortgage company or your controller or whoever that says, here's what we have in property, here's what it's worth. Our building's worth $12 million. That's what you insure it for. When it comes to cyber insurance, the CFO, I always ask the CFO one important question is, how did we get there? You have a $3 million limit. Who told you to put $3 million down? Where did that number come from? And the number always comes from, we do business with John Ray, and John Ray's contract says, you need to have $3 million in general liability, you need your workers' comp, and you need a $3 million limit for cyber insurance, which we didn't see years ago.
Right.
But now all the contracts nowadays all have a cyber clause in them.
Sure.
For insurance compliance, right?
Right.
And that's what my cow in the road, that's what I call my cow in the road, is that's the stumbling point where the CFO and the CTO and all the board guys say, hey, we're in compliance. We're in compliance. We're okay. Mm-hmm. But why did you call me in here? Why did your lawyer and your CPA say, hey, you need to speak with Ralph because we are concerned about your coverages? So years ago, I would do a whiteboard, and Craig knows a little bit about this. We would sit in the boardroom with all the officers of the company, and on the whiteboard, I would list, okay, here's what your exposures are. This is what it's going to look like. With business interruption, you're going to be shut down because of malware, ransom attack, or whatever it is. You're going to be shut down for 30 days. Okay? Let's take you do $400 million a year in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. What does 30 days cost you? Mm-hmm. Do the math, mm-hmm. right? Then we have forensics. Then we have your lawyers, legal. Then we have restoration costs. We have data restoration, maybe SCADA systems. Also, we add that all up, John, and it's $45 million that the breach cost
right.
for the event. And that it could be more, right? Right.
Yeah, sure.
It could be more.
Right.
So when I bring that to the forefront and they look at that and they have a $3 million limit on their cyber insurance, it's all hell breaks loose. The CFO looks at everyone and says, why didn't I know this? Because you're in compliance.
And you were happy with that answer.
He was happy with that until I showed him, you know, and I said, look, what if we take half of that? What if I'm wrong? Let's take half of it. Let's take a third of that. But the bottom line is you're way underinsured. No one, it's the emperor's new clothes, right? Hey, mm-hmm. I look great. No one ever, and that's a joke or if the old timers will get that, right?
Right.
But you looked really good until I came in.
Yeah. Right? And now you're missing something, shall we say. Let's go the other way on this though, Ralph, because it strikes me that, to use your building analogy, pretty much exactly what that building is worth. Mm-hmm. With cyber liability, you may think you know what the exposure is, but even if you're insured for that month's worth of interruption, how long has the city of Atlanta been down? In other words, you don't really know what to insure for, even if you're awake and paying attention. You don't really know what your ultimate liability might be.
Correct.
Say more about that.
We use a tool. We have a couple of different tools that we use. One of the tools, it's our Call Our Care program, and that's a cyber assessment and risk evaluation program. It takes a deep dive into your company. Let's call your company Radio X, John, right? Mm-hmm. And we do a cyber simulation of 50,000 different events that could happen to you in the cyber exposure world that could influence your business. Maybe shut you down for a month, maybe a year, maybe take all of your instruments and basically brick everything so you have nothing to work with. There's thousands of different things that can happen to a company. The CFOs are so myopic. They're like, we get a ransom attack, we pay it, and we're up and running. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. And you're right. You have no idea what it's going to do to you and what the downtime is going to be. Our program has 200 million companies in the database, and we run the analytics, and we compare your company with its peers so that we know, hey, you're at $3 million now, but all of your peers have a $15 to $20 million policy, and that's their limits. Why is that? Because they've done their homework, maybe, but we've also taken a look at the industry standards. What do the breaches look like? What do the payouts look like, et cetera? And all of those analytics will benchmark your company precisely and give us a range of 80 to 95% of a risk. And what does that look like? What's the financial risk look like? So we're taking a lot of the guesswork out by using technology. And that's where Craig's team and my team, we all combine together to finally take the guesswork out of it, mm-hmm. bring the technology in, and combine that with the insurances. And then we see where you should be. Maybe we're not 100%, but we give the CFO now a choice of a range of where he should be instead of in compliance, like you said. I don't care about compliance.
Right.
I want to know what the risk is. I want to know what that looks like. So,
and John, he was saying from a technology perspective, most agents are clicking on a checkbox saying, X, Y, and Z from an insurance perspective, and the underwriters, this is what we think we should be asking you. So we go much deeper, and we also bring technology into this as well and saying, what type of risks could you be facing? So we run scenarios well over 500,000 type of scenarios that are possible for cyber events. Then they also look at what type of technologies are you using? And we have a database of over 45,000 types of technology that you could be using. And I think that also looks at the benchmarking and the historical side, what other companies have been hit, what are the trends in the marketplace, malware, what do we see in the dark web? People forget about the dark web and the evil guys on the right side. We wanted to put all that together and benchmark from a technology perspective, working with insurance. That was the key point that Ralph and I and the team were looking at a few years ago and saying we're missing a big opportunity to right size.
So just to be clear, what you're talking about here, what I thought I heard, was that you're looking at certain technology solutions that companies may have, and based on past performance in terms of cyber protection that those different technology combinations might offer, they have different risk profiles.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. And so you're able to, but because of that, forecast probabilities of breach and that kind of thing.
It looks at the financial risk that they're really absorbing.
Got it.
And it also measures against their peers in the marketplace.
Okay, got it. Craig Sikowski and Ralph Pescarello are with us, folks. They are with the Tech Collective, scaring us to death here in a good way because we need to wake up. So when you do this analysis, you're coming at it, Craig, from the technology side and what the current technology platform looks like. And Ralph, you're coming at it from the cyber liability side and what other companies, what their profile looks like. But let me ask you this, devil's advocate. If everyone is underinsured, which is what we're saying here, right? Then how does looking at everyone else help you? You see what I'm saying? If everyone's underinsured, then the comparables are wrong.
Right. Right. But it doesn't.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
But it benchmarks the risk, not when everyone else is at.
Okay.
It takes the size of the company, all of the different analytics, how many employees, revenue, what you do. So in other words, if you're just a health company with, say, 500 employees, but you have 20 million bits of information or records or files for people's profile on board, then we consider that it's called PHI. So that's personal health information. So your risk as a health company is in the data. So we know what that's going to cost, John. If you have a breach, we take those records, we multiply them by X, and then we get a restoration notification cost and damages for that. Also, you have your HIPAA compliance and HIPAA fines and all that. Mm. If we know if your company is XYZ, you have this amount of records on board, that's what you do. We know that a breach is going to be anywhere between 20 to 30 million. That's mm-hmm. what it's going to cost you. Mm. So without knowing what your peers have for insurance, we already know what the damages are going to look like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
Right. And then if you're in manufacturing or any other industry, we know the downtime times revenue and the business interruption. The business interruption is the biggest thing that CFOs overlook. Like you mentioned, City of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So the City of Atlanta, I knew the risk manager there when she wrote the cyber insurance policy 2 months before that breach happened. So they did have insurance.
Yeah.
The City of Atlanta chose not to pay. The ransom was $50,000. 2 months later, what were the damages to the city? $20 million. Mm-hmm. So if they had paid the $50,000, they would have been up and running, but they refused to pay the ransom. Now, look, a good cyber policy will pay the ransom. Mm-hmm. As long as you check all the boxes and you're in compliance with the insurance side, they'll pay the ransom. Mm-hmm. So you have to weigh that out. It's a critical point. And I know I'm getting away from your question. I get off on tangent.
Yep.
But we have to weigh that out. Look, can we afford to be down a few days or 30 days or whatever that number is? Or do we need to pay a ransom right away? If you're a bank, if you're a financial institution, if you're a hospital, if you're something that you can't afford to be down, or your files out there or your records out there, then you need to pay it. And it's no longer, it's a double-edged sword now, because the ransom is not only a pay up front because they've encrypted your files, they've also stolen your files and now they have a hostage. So yeah. It's different. Years ago, we'd say, you know what? We're not going to pay the ransom. We're going to figure this out. And we're going to figure out the encryption. Now they say, well, you do that, what do you want us to do with all your files and your information? We have it. So it's a ransomware with a hostage, whereas years ago it wasn't. So it's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, for sure. And you have done over the years a lot of work with federal and state authorities. Talk briefly about the risk here that you hear from those folks that are on the investigative lines.
Craig talked a little bit about that before, and you did too, John. So when I'm on a ECTF, which is Electronic Crimes Task Force here in Atlanta with the Secret Service, and a lot of times the FBI guys come in and join us, Homeland comes in, the GBI also. So it's a group of like-minded people that are concerned with cyber attacks and a lot of the electronic crimes that are happening. We see, or I have a view and or a radar of what's coming next, right? There's a lot of these memos that I receive that I can't tell you about, and I can't post them, or I can't print them out and all that. And I am concerned at a lot of stuff that's coming down the road. Mm. The problem is, like we were speaking about before, if I'm a technology officer in a company, I live in a bubble. I'm keeping the shoe manufacturer running. I'm keeping all of the employees happy. I'm keeping all the copiers and the emails and the laptops running and all the machinery running out back. That CF, that either that CTO or that technology officer or whoever has that position, he has no idea what's going on in the outside world. He really doesn't. He's so overwhelmed with keeping his house in order that he doesn't know in 3 days from now that he's going to lose all continuity in the company or whatever that is. So the little by this, little.
This is like the person standing on the beach. It's a sunny day, but the hurricane's 3 days away.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there's a tidal wave coming, but he's looking at the hotel.
Right.
So it's the old cops and robbers. We're trying to keep up with it. Technology is doing the best they can. The security industry is doing the best they can. But no one can guarantee that you will not be breached if you buy their security. No one.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Right.
Because there's one factor that it's the person that's sitting behind a desk that clicks on the cat video that in the middle of the day during a lunch break that downloads malware into the system. And 3 minutes later, you've infected 50,000 computers.
Let's talk about your solutions. And you, it sounds like what you're able to do is point, but like you're not able to give people a completely foolproof way to protect themselves and the a 100% reliable risk profile, but you're doing something that no one else is doing. It's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
And that's a huge improvement over what's out there right now.
Yeah. We've got a 4-step process and we can talk about that when people are interested. We've made many presentations already. And the 4-step process also includes not only, it's important, number one, to get the insurance because we want to make sure you have enough insurance for when the event happens, at least we keep you in business, right? Then after that, we do a deep dive into the security. Now, we work with the insurance broker. So, John, if you have a broker you like, you've had them for years, we're not there to disrupt any of that.
Right.
We're there to help the insurance broker. I've been in that seat. Mm-hmm. I wish I had a guy like me when I was starting off in insurance. So we're there to help both you, the client, his broker, and then assist them also in the technology area. If they don't have a good CISO or if they don't have a good MIS system or somebody that they rely on other than buying a firewall off the internet, we want to know what the maturity of the company is as far as security, and our report dives into all of that. So that we can, Craig, Jim, and our team, David, they can assist them on what are the next steps for post-breach or even pre-breach processes. We want to know what's your protocol right now before you're breached. Do you have one? Most people don't know. The fire map on the wall to get out of the building, where is that for your cyber?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have planned? So then Craig and his team, Jim, they will come in, they'll assist and do a technology sweep, dive deep and say, hey, we noticed you have XYZ for technology for security, but you're not using it. Or you're using two of them, but there's four that you're not using. I'm not a tech guy, I pretend to be one, but I have to know the language. I have to know what the rest of my team is doing. And it's even like the cyber insurance is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
The threats are always changing. And the other side of my team is they have to keep up with it also.
John, we just don't look at
it's never ending.
Go ahead,
Craig. The risks, but we also not only the tool set, do you have the right processes in place? So we look at that. We also do breach coaching and breach management to make sure that you're prepared for a breach. What do you do? Who do you call? How do you act? And insurance also relates to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a breach, who do you call first? Is it your insurance agent? Is it the broker themselves, your attorney? And the answer is actually SEAL.
All of the above, yeah.
And we can help you with that. But part of that is we take a look at various threat tiles and part of this process. And that includes the asset exposure. We've got liability exposures, the security exposures, and also the threat vectors, adding all those in together and benchmarking that to help you right size.
Yeah. Great work from Craig Sikowski and Ralph Pescarello. And Craig and Ralph are with the Tech Collective. As we're winding down, I'd love for you to tell a success story or just a profile of how this works, right?
Know, we just talked about benchmarking.
Yeah.
Ralph, why don't you go into that? We have
That works.
Benchmarking now is a lot easier than it was. So I talked about the whiteboard up, my processes on how I would do it with a whiteboard, which made complete sense. But there were no analytics or things to back that up. It was just my knowledge of being in the industry for so long. There was, I'll give you a quick success story, and I won't name the company, but they're out near Six Flags. They do manufacturing. They're a good size company. They do close to $450 million a year in manufacturing. And I got called in by one of their CPAs and met the CFO, was very friendly, and we had a good talk. And they had $1 million cyber policy. And I told the CFO, I said, do you really need to up that? And he said, I'll tell my broker about it. Meanwhile, I wanted his business, right? And I didn't get the business.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, I got a call again from the CFO. I walked in. I said, what's going on? We had a breach and it cost us X amount of money. We weren't covered for it. It was an invoice manipulation, a fraudulent transfer of money, funds. Mm. Our broker said we weren't covered for it. And I said, yeah, you were covered for it. What happened? He said, we just paid our client $275,000. We called it even. I said, that's not right. You were covered for that. Mm. Here's a clause where you're covered for it.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, they had increased their insurance because I said, you should increase it. So they increased it to $3 million prior to me walking in the door. I walked out of the door that day with the business and met with the board and all of everyone above. And fast forward, I said, I've got great news, and I've got some news that you're going to recoil from. The thing is that, look, your company needs to be insured for $15 million.
Mm.
They do business with, I'll back up a bit. Fast forward 6 months later, and they do business with Nike. Nike said, look, you need a $5 million limit for your insurance. And he was outraged. He's $5 million. That's crazy. It's going to cost us another $20,000. And I said, look. So then I did the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And it came up like in the 40 million range, somewhere around there.
Wow.
I said, look, you do X amount. He said, if we're down our general liability, we're covered for business interruption. I said, you're not. Your general liability policy covers business interruption if your building burns down, if your building blows away, if something happens catastrophically to your structure and all that. A cyber event, your business interruption is not covered. So not with the general liability. So anyways, it was a long discussion, and we finally settled on a $15 million limit for the company. And I say that he went kicking and screaming because it's going to cost him more money. I said, look, if it costs you $100,000 more, but it saves you $10 million, it's worth it. So he was my deductible. I said, I don't care about your deductible. Look at the other end of it. And that was a great success story. And I got many clients because of that, because of his recommendations. And he's a great guy, the CFO there. I won't mention his name, but.
Yeah, yeah. We won't do that.
No, but it was, and it feels good to do that, John.
Yeah.
And it's not about the money. It's about him going home knowing that if XYZ happens, he's okay now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to get fired.
So let's talk about, you mentioned it earlier, Craig, about the types of companies that you work with here, but I want to fine tune that answer a little bit. Just make sure our listeners know the types of clients you work with that are great fits for you.
So industries that we are getting a lot of attraction in are healthcare, legal companies, attorneys, manufacturers are another good client for us. Companies that are, like I said, will work small, medium, or large, but usually they start at $50 million above for the revenues, and then we can help them. Those are the companies that think they have everything together, but they're really underserved, and that's where we try to fill that gap.
Got it. Got it. Wow, great work from Craig Sikowski, Ralph Pescarello, with the Tech Collective? I could keep going on. Just a ton of questions come to mind, but let's get to the most important one, really, which is how folks can get in touch.
Mm-hmm. So, Ralph, I'm going to have you speak in a second and give you your number, but you can reach us at thetechcollective.net. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way. That's our website, and you can request information from there. Ralph, why don't you give them your contact?
Yeah, my contact is ralph.p@thetechcollective.net, and you should be able to get in touch with me through there or through the web, which is thetechcollective.net.
Terrific. Craig Sikowski, Ralph Pascarello, thanks so much for coming in. I'm delighted we could shine a light on the great work you're doing.
John, thanks for having us.
Keep it up. This has been great. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Hey, folks, just a couple of quick things before we let you go for today. I've got a book out. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. Now, if you're a solo or small professional services firm, maybe you're a bigger professional services firm, that you need some help in expressing your value, understanding the value of the services that you offer, and pricing accordingly, this book may be for you. Go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more, to find out where the book is sold, and to check it out further if you're interested. Thank you. Also, I want to thank you, our listener. You're just terrific for us, and what you have done over these almost past 8 years in supporting the work we're doing here in this studio is fantastic. And you continue to encourage us, share the shows with folks that you think would be interested in the services of our guests. You like us on social media, and we're just honored by that support. So thank you for that support as we continue to live into our mission to be the voice of business in the North Fulton region. So for my guests, Craig Sikowski and Ralph Pascarello, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.